continue today in our sermon series entitled Prayer, Deep Faith, Lasting Bonds. Our passage today might seem a bit strange to you because of how it uses the word you. Now, the psalmist here uses the word you a great deal, but unlike most psalms, the you here does not refer to God. Instead, the you here refers to the person who God is blessing. Most likely, this person was a king going off to battle who needed God's blessing for a victory. Now, in this sense, Psalm 20 might seem more like a blessing than it does a prayer, but whether we call it a blessing or a prayer, the important thing is that Psalm 20 gives us an example of how we can ask God's favor for another person. In the church, we sometimes call this intercessory prayer. To put it more plainly, Psalm 20, I believe, teaches us how to pray not just for ourselves, but for other people. For our translation today, I have chosen the New International Version because I do think that this translation makes it a bit more clear that this is a request for God to bless another person. So hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 20, verses 1 through 5. For the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Friends, our God is still speaking. Alleluia. Amen. And now, friends, would you please join me in a brief word of prayer? Dear God, I give you thanks for the example of Psalm 20. I give you thanks for the teachings of Jesus who taught us how to pray for others. Lord, in these moments, I pray that you might speak through me, but if necessary, speak in spite of me, so that all of us may understand that when we pray for another person, we can pray as if their blessing is our blessing, knowing this to be true. We pray this in the name of the one who offered some of the ultimate you-focused prayers, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, I want to begin today with something of a confession. More often than not, in my personal prayer life, I pray quite selfishly. Now, this may be a surprise coming from a pastor, but let me explain what I mean. Now, in my professional role as Reverend Larry, I don't often pray selfishly, because more often than not, I would say close to 100% of the time, I pray for other people in that role. When I offer prayers from the prayer list, as I did just a few minutes ago, when I pray with the family at the hospital, or when I pray before a meeting, those are examples of the ways that I pray for other people in my professional role as Reverend Larry. But in my personal life, as just plain Larry, I can pray quite selfishly. I often pray it multiple times a day, but I always carve out a time in the morning of about 10 to 20 minutes for prayer. And during that time, I offer gratitude for what God has blessed me with in the previous day. I offer prayers of concern for the coming day, and I pray for particular people in my life. I even pray for those relationships in which I'm struggling. And then at the end, I always leave time to listen to God's word for me on that day. And that may all seem well and good to you, but if you were paying attention, there were three little words that connected everything I just said. I, me, and my. And that's because more often than not, I can pray quite selfishly. And I wonder how many of you listening today can relate to that. Now, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with praying about yourself or your needs or your problems. God is our beloved parent, and we are all God's children. And so God longs to hear our heart's desires, just like a good parent longs to hear what their children are going through. So there's nothing wrong with praying about yourself and your needs. It's just not enough. And if you do pray for other people, you probably pray for your family and friends, those near and dear to you, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But I wonder, when you pray for those people, do you pray for them based on what they think they need or based on what you think they need? Because I think if we're being honest with ourselves, it is really hard to pray truly unselfishly, even when we're praying for another person. Now, this is, of course, made all the more difficult by what Jesus taught us. Because Jesus taught us when we pray for ourselves, we should pray in this way. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, when we do pray for ourselves, we pray for what we need, not necessarily everything we want. And then we pray for just enough for today, not enough for forever. Now, Jesus also said that we should pray for other people, but not just our family and friends and not just people who can repay the favor. Instead, Jesus said we are to pray for our enemies. And friends, I think there is no more unselfish prayer than that, to pray for our enemies. If you can offer a genuine prayer for the well-being of someone that you consider an enemy, then you are doing one of the most unselfish prayer acts possible. So how can we do this? How can we shift our prayers from me and my to you and yours? How can we pray more like Jesus? For some of you, you may know already what a good you-focused prayer looks like, but maybe like me, you struggle with motivation every now and then. For others of you, you may genuinely not really know how to start. How do I pray for another person? And if you find yourself in either one of those categories, the good news I offer you today is that we have an example of a great you-focused prayer in the scripture we just read today in Psalm 20. I believe Psalm 20 gives us an example of a prayer that is wholeheartedly focused on the other person. The person being prayed for here, like I said, is a king riding off to battle in order to defeat some enemy. But here's the interesting thing. The king is not the one praying. That is really important. In fact, we have no idea the identity of the person who is praying. The psalm begins by telling us that it is of David. But in the original Hebrew, that phrase, Le David, it could mean that it was written by David, but it could just as easily mean written in honor of David. And so we don't know who wrote this psalm. Maybe it was David. Maybe it was a palace courtier. Maybe it was a temple priest. Maybe it was an ordinary citizen of the country. But that's kind of the point, that we don't know who offered this prayer. Because Psalm 20 is not about the me who is praying. It's about the you being prayed for. Now, like I said, the person being prayed for is a king riding off to battle. So the very first thing that the person prays is that the king would have protection. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. He then later on in the prayer asks for God to give the king victory. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. But the psalmist goes beyond the particular situation of the battle, and he prays for the king's general relationship with God. He says, may God send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all of your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. Now, if that language sounds a little strange to you, it's probably because it's been a long time since you've offered a burnt offering at the temple. But that's okay. I've never done it in my own lifetime either. Today, we may use very different language to pray something similar. We may pray, may God bless you. May God draw close to you and guide you and protect you. And may God remember all the ways that you seek to bless others and bless the church. Now, the psalmist goes beyond the battle. He also goes beyond the relationship with God. He offers a very expansive prayer of blessing toward the end. He prays, may God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. And at the very end of the passage, the person who is praying says the same idea in a very different way. May the Lord grant all of your requests. Think about that. May the Lord grant all of your requests. That is incredibly different from the way Jesus teaches us to pray for ourselves. Give me this day my daily bread, just what I need, just enough for today. When we pray for another person, we pray in this big, over-the-top, almost impossible-to-realize fashion. May God give you everything that you request. How can we pray in such an unselfish way? How can we get outside me and my to focus on you and yours? For that matter, how was the psalmist who wrote this prayer able to do it? I submit to you that the answer comes in the way that we see the psalmist combining you and we. Now, you may have noticed that the psalmist uses the word you a lot in the psalm, but you may have missed the time that he used we. So let me read that part again, just in case you missed it. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners, not your banners, but our banners, in the name of our God, not just your God, but our God. In other words, the psalmist prays in a way that suggests that he thinks when you achieve victory. We achieve victory, and therefore I achieve victory. In other words, this person prays as if when you win, I win too. Now, of course, this makes sense given the context of Psalm 20, because the person was praying for the king of their nation. When the king goes out and wins a great victory, everyone else in the nation wins. In the same way, in our own country, when our government succeeds, say, in fighting coronavirus, all of us win as well. So Psalm 20 could be read as praying for our leaders and people in positions of authority, but it's also about more than that. It's about the way that we pray for one another today. Now, some of you might find it awkward to copy the prayer style of Psalm 20 in a one-to-one fashion, because after all, when we pray to God, we don't normally pray it with God as the third person actor and with the other person as the second person. In other words, we don't normally pray, "May God bless you." If you want to get technical or grammatical, that is what we would call a blessing and not a prayer. However, friends, the purpose of prayer is not grammar. The purpose of prayer is grace. So how can we offer prayers based maybe not on the grammar, but on the grace of Psalm 20? The people in your life that you pray for, they might not be royalty, but doesn't it make a difference if you pray for them as if they were royalty in God's eyes? The people that you pray for, they may not be heading off to fight an actual battle, but doesn't it make a difference if you pray for them as if they were in the struggle of their life and in desperate need of spiritual support? And the people you pray for, you may not get a concrete benefit when God blesses them, but doesn't it make a difference when you pray realizing the spiritual truth that their victory is your victory, their triumph is your triumph, and their blessing is your blessing? In other words, friends, let's pray for others as if when God blesses them, we are blessed too. Later on this week, if you're in a neighborhood group, your neighborhood group coordinator is going to reach out to you with an email encouraging you to share your prayers for one another. And friends, if you're not in a neighborhood group already, please reach out to either Reverend Jenny or myself. We would love to put you in a group. And in response to that email, I do hope you share whatever concerns are on your heart that day, so that people in your group can pray for you. But the challenge I have for you is at one point this week, I want you to pray in a way where you are totally focused on the other people in your group, not on yourself, but on the other people in your group. And if you're wondering, how do you even do that? What does that look like? You can make it really simple. Just take a list. It could be on your screen. It could be a list in front of you written down on a piece of paper. Have the names of everyone in your group written down on it. You can even pray simply in this way: God, please bless so-and-so. God, please bless Jane. God, please bless Nicole. God, please bless Frank. Just go down the list and pray for everyone in your group in that way. And it may not seem to be a profound prayer to pray, God, please bless Bob. But as I said earlier, the purpose of prayer is not the style or grammar we use. It's the grace behind the words. Friends, as I conclude today's message, I want to remind us that Jesus, he did not simply teach us to pray for others. He did not simply teach us to pray for our enemies. He did not simply teach us to offer you-centered prayers. He showed us what this looked like in his living and his dying. When Jesus hung at a cross at Golgotha, he prayed for those who crucified him. Jesus had every right to offer a different kind of prayer. He could have offered a curse for those who were attacking him. He could have summoned the angel armies of heaven to liberate him. He could have prayed for his own salvation in that moment from the cross, but instead Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In the same way, Jesus did not simply pray for those who crucified him. He also prayed for those crucified with him. There were two criminals, Holy Scripture tells us, who were crucified on either side of Jesus, and one of them recognized him as the Messiah, the chosen one of God. And that man said to Jesus, as he lay dying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise." When you hear those words, they may sound like a promise. They may sound like a blessing, but they could be a prayer. Because let us remember, the purpose of prayer is not grammar, but grace. And friends, when Jesus came back from the dead 3 days later, I believe that he rejoiced not so much that he had been dead, was now alive, but he rejoiced in that God answered his prayers for those people through the resurrection. Because through the resurrection, that criminal crucified with Jesus entered into paradise. Through the resurrection, God gave forgiveness to all those who crucified Jesus. And through the resurrection, God brought and is bringing salvation to a broken world. And so, friends, how can you and I offer prayers like Jesus? How can we offer prayers not just focused on me and my, but you and yours? We pray for others as if they were royalty. We pray for others as if they were in a spiritual battle, in desperate need of spiritual support. We pray for others as if their victory was our victory, as if their triumph was our triumph, as if their blessing was our blessing. Because by the power of the cross and the empty tomb, friends, we know this to be true. Amen.